Workers of the world, unite.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. I wouldn't quote Karl Marx just for the heck of it. Workers of the world are actually starting to unite, and it has nothing to do with communism. The largest labor union in Britain, which is called Unite, has agreed to merge with one of this country's biggest unions, the United Steelworkers. This will create the first transatlantic labor group, and it has no intention of stopping there. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The two unions are planning to merge later this summer. The new organization will represent almost 3 million workers in manufacturing, finance, and the public sector in the US, Canada, Britain, and the Caribbean. But this is only the first step. They've also put out feelers to other unions in Asia, Eastern Europe, and Latin America. Derek Simpson is joint head of Unite. He says an international union will have real bargaining clout.
We have a view that we need a global trade union in order to be able to deal effectively and on a par with the many global companies that we now have members working for.
Some analysts say this raises the prospect of global strikes, and it may make it more difficult for some big companies to shift production to cheaper locations abroad. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil is really soaking the stock market. Oil's trading at $133 a barrel this morning, and where stocks are trading, they're down. In Japan, the Nikkei had its biggest loss in 6 weeks, a drop of 2.3%. European shares are down a fraction so far. London and Wall Street have the day off. The Dow will start off the short week at 12,469. It lost almost 4% last week, its worst performance in 3 months. Yesterday, South Africa's president called recent violence in his country a disgrace. He said the government would take swift action. At least 50 immigrants have been killed. Thousands of people have fled their homes. Some of those arrested in this violence blame immigrants for taking their jobs. Neighboring countries are worried about how this might affect Africa's biggest economy. Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
At the end of apartheid, South Africa became known as the Rainbow Nation, and one of its colors was green. Its economy's grown steadily since 1998. GDP climbed nearly 6% last year. Jeff Rothschild is with the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
We expect the growth to remain positive, and that is a draw card. Investors want to invest where there is going to be growth, where there are opportunities.
But those opportunities may shrink if the violence drives away the immigrant population that helps to fuel this economy. 40% of skilled mine workers here come from neighboring countries, such as Malawi and Mozambique. And while the country's biggest mining companies say it's been business as usual, three gold mining firms last week reported production problems because some workers didn't punch in. The head of South Africa's mine workers union says there's been no exodus of skilled miners, but analysts say investors are reassessing the nation's risk. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com. And by Clarkson Potters, the splendid table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
And guess what? It's time once again for Conversations from the Corner Office.
The boss will see you now.
Procter & Gamble is the world's biggest consumer products company. It makes a long list of things you know. Charmin, Tide, Pringles, Folgers, Pampers. Procter & Gamble's CEO, A.G. Laffley, is a true company man. He's been with the company the whole time, throughout his career. Kai Rizdahl recently caught up with Laffley at P&G's Cincinnati headquarters.
Consumers are notoriously fickle. They're sensitive to price. They're sensitive to packaging. They're sensitive to position on store shelves.
Consumers are great. I mean, honestly.
I think you have to say that. Come on.
No. But what you said, they are demanding. They are inconsistent. They are hard to understand. They do not say what they mean. You know, we work very hard to get at what we call unarticulated needs because it's very difficult for consumers to tell us.
It's interesting that you speak of the consumer as they, because you're a guy who goes to the grocery store and buys laundry detergent and razor blades. When you do that, somewhere in the back of your mind, is it churning that, oh, this product design isn't really all that great and we need to see about better shelf space and all that?
One thing my people know is when I've spent a Sunday in stores. Because I come back with a lot of suggestions on Monday morning.
Must drive them nuts.
Well, hopefully not. I think they're used to me by now.
You're lucky in a lot of ways that you sell stuff people really need. I mean, we're always going to have to brush our teeth. We're always going to have to shave and do our clothes. Are you worried about the state of the economy and the consumer mindset?
Well, I am a worrier by nature. I think it's very difficult to understand what's really going on in the U.S. economy right now. If you listen to the politicians and a lot of the discussion in the media, you would think we're mired in recession and ain't things awful. If you look at the hard numbers, we're still eking out very modest growth. And maybe it's no growth, and who knows, maybe we have slipped into negative growth in the last month or two.
What does that mean for this company?
The biggest pressure right now is clearly costs. You know, it's energy costs and commodity costs. Just about anything that is dug out of the ground, all the minerals, most of the agricultural commodities, the prices are just up across the board. This year that we will finish June the 30th, we have had to cover about $1.4 billion in additional cost. And what that means is we're going to be taking more pricing than we've taken for a while, and that's going to put pressure on consumers.
To hear more of our conversation with A.G. Laffley, check out our website, marketplace.org. Stella and Bud might hook up. And I'm not talking about your neighbors, Stella and Bud. Rumors are swirling that the Belgian company that makes Stella Artois is interested in buying Anheuser-Busch. If Stella and Bud did get together, the company would distribute a quarter of the world's beer. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.